Освященная Богу жизнь и смиренное сердце перед Ним, быть хочу таким, чтоб дела мои звучали громче слов, что я Христос. Украшения золотые, но смирение в сердцах, Божий дорого глаза, жизнь свою Христу веряю, в слове часа пребываю, и могу сказать туда, это Божья красота, посвященная Богу. Печи пламя победили, но верность упование на все обетования. В сердце Бог пусть обитает, жизнь мою всю направляет. Побеждать хочу всегда силой Господа Христа. Посвященная Богу
Next time we'll be singing in all languages in the church. And today we're supposed to sing in Shona, but Brother David couldn't make it. But we'll sing next week. Amen. Hallelujah. We pray for different languages. Amen. Let's just sing just a chorus while I think Sister Eve and then Sister Lily has a testimony.
Burn, 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 Holy Spirit.
When the trials, they are too
heart to bear. I will lift my eyes to Mount Calvary, where he died. Lord, I live. Every bed is there. I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet, and any time I don't know just what to do, Lord, I'll cast all my cares upon you.
Song, and we'll ask Sister Lily to pray, to testify, burdens are lifted at Calvary, amen.
Amen.
Very powerful words. Thanks for Sister Jivili singing as well. We didn't know she had a voice. She's hiding her talents, amen. I'm sure there's many out there with the same talents. Let's sing that song. We don't know why Jesus loves us. We don't know why he chose us. You see, he'd be merciful to us to give us the grace we have, amen. If it wasn't for Christ, maybe we'd be dead. Maybe we'd be out in the slums anyway. I don't know why.
He sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad.
understand why we sing it. Hallelujah.
Oh, I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why He sacrificed His life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did. He left His mighty throne in glory. Oh, to bring to us redemption story. And He died, but He rose again. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did. I don't know why. I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why.
Where would I be this morning?
Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Oh, where would I be if He didn't care? Where would I be if He hadn't sacrificed His life? Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did. I don't know why, I don't know why.
This morning, hallelujah.
Oh, where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Oh, where would I be if He didn't care?
Where would I be if He hadn't sacrificed His life? Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did. I don't know why,
no why.
Take your seat. Zama pambola
binyoso. God bless you.
Bona nina binyoso.
Happy New Year to everyone.
Nazaki musika na bino.
I was far away.
Na le 31 nazaki na assemblée chrétienne Rigini.
On New Year's Eve, I was at the Christian Assembly for Rigini in Kinshasa. I was far away from my home. I missed you so much. I was thinking this time I could have been with my beloved ones. God bless you. I'd like to give a short testimony. I sat before leaving. I left with sorrow in my heart. On the plane back here, I was singing like a fool. Up to now, I'm still praising God for what
Hallelujah.
He did. Since 2007, when I came to this message, when I decided to give my life to Christ, it's from that time that I started appreciating how my father was valuable. It was like a veil fell from my eyes. I could see God in his life. I kept on calling him to testify to him that I saw God through you, what you did for me all over my life.
Yeah.
The morning he was brought to the hospital, Brother Maxwell and Sister Comfort were at my place. We were chatting with Brother Maxwell. I felt that I should say to Brother Maxwell,
I kept on telling
Brother Maxwell how giving my father's testimony to Brother Maxwell, how he was, he kept on working on in the word, and he kept the word. We prayed, and that evening they called me to tell me that my dad was sick. He was 65, and he never been in the hospital since. I was shocked, but I prayed. The church prayed, and he was in intensive care, and the situation was very difficult. The doctor said that it was almost too late. After your prayers, the blood pressure came back to normal, and his heartbeat became almost normal as well. After his coma, when he came back, he was saying that he was seeing someone telling him that you were 31, that were supposed to die, but I took 30, but you are the only one who escaped. He asked him how that man, that person talking to him, was asking me, how did you escape? He said, I escaped because I was believing in Jesus Christ. In that vision, he saw someone giving him a key to open a door and enter, but he said, my place is not here, I can't enter now. After his coma, he called the pastor and talked to the pastor.
He said
to the pastor that I don't need to live in this world anymore. I wish I could live this world now. My only concern is my wife and children, but for myself, I can go even now. He said, if this is an opportunity for me to go, I wish I could go just now. I want his perfect will. I don't want to stay out of that will. The pastor was so shocked, and he said to him, brother, how could you say that? The brother said, his sister's dad said, I want God's will to be done right now in my life.
Pastor
abonde la kipe. The pastor prayed.
Dieu n'est pas notre garçon de course, il fait ce qu'il veut. Quand il veut, laisse-lui faire sa volonté.
The pastor said to the mother that God is not our delivery boy. He do what he wants to do on his own time.
And all
in the family went to seek the will of God.
And God
did what he did. It was time for him to go back home. My joy is that he died, he passed away with his Bible and message booklet in his hands.
Amen.
nakumisi nzambe tangu nakila lela kisusu teza ki consolation pona ngai nabinda mbati sepote ya biki sieme ezaki tanga kende.
When I got there, I didn't cry that much because I understood that it was the will of God that he should live. I praise God because I thank you for your prayers, but it was time for him to live.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Our brothers home. Let's sing that song, Ruth Deciding. To your lives, if you think you're a young person, you're making your decision. Ruth had to make a decision to go to a foreign country, to live with foreign people. And Ruth became a very special person in our life. Amen. Today, we sing about her today.
Entreat me not to leave you, to return from following thee. For where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die. There will I be buried. Lord, do so to me more also. Devoted part. Courage, do some kind of healing among her. Tell her Jesus Christ is Lord. If you can find grace, you'll find rest. Oh, as the Lord of the harvest. Oh, he's the Lord of the harvest. Look to Simon,
we've come just desiring rest. Don't you desire that spiritual rest at his feet? Amen. This world, Jesus says, in this world you'll have troubles, but in him we can find peace. Amen. Peace that the world knows not of. Sister Lily, it's nice to see you back. Thank you for the testimony. Brother Vadim, God bless you. It's nice to see Brother Vadim again. Any of the saints remember saying to Brother Vadim, a frosty morning, ice on the grass in Donegal. I think it was the beginning of when? 2003, maybe. 2002, 2000, January. Yeah. Went up and Brother Vadim was baptized with Brother Tony the same day. Oh, wonderful. Nice to see him. Joe, God bless you. Brother Enoch's brother, we do greet him as well. Sister Moss from Botswana. God bless you, sister. It's nice to meet someone from Botswana. Sister Dana from Lithuania. We know the sister. God bless you, sister. Nice welcome. to the house of the Lord today. We also have Greg from Carlo. Remember, he was here 2 weeks ago, and he's here with his sister Olga today, so we do greet them as well. Very powerful, interesting testimonies, how God works in the lives of people. So let's keep them in prayer as well. Brother Maxwell's away in Italy. Let's remember him. He's there for 2 weeks, gone for things there. So we'll keep him in prayer as well. Let's open our Bibles, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. A couple of weeks back, we were looking at being in harmony with your theophany. And we were speaking about the fact that God has a prophecy for your life. That before you were born, God spoke before the foundation of the world. And it's recorded in His book, your real name, who you really are, what your purpose is in life. And if you really want to find the fullness of the kingdom, the fullness of kingdom life, is if you can find harmony with that prophecy of your life, that which God has done. If you think we spoke of it in a couple of different ways, but today we'd like to continue with that thought, but we'd like to speak about the importance of prayer. We just want to focus a little bit on prayer to show that it's the importance, if you want to be in harmony with God's divine will, the importance of prayer. So let's read Matthew chapter 6. We'll read from verse 9 up to 13. We know this prayer very well. It's the Lord's Prayer, so-called, in the Bible. Verse 9, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is. Lord, how many times the prophet said the same thing, for a person to be able to bow their heads to the dust from whence we were taken and to lift our hearts into heavenly places, Lord, to look unto thee and pray. Father, where would you be today? Father, even our sister with her testimony, even the different needs of people. Father, if we'd speak unto each of your children upon this day. Father, Lord, how many people could testify of what's happened through prayer? And Father, we just desire to walk in harmony with you, Lord. Father, we're walking in flesh. We need your grace. We need your mercy. We're walking in a world that's hostile to you. Father, won't you just minister an entrance deeper? We'd ask and pray, Lord, upon this day, that Father, you would help us, Lord, to go deeper into the channel that you've opened for us. And Father, your will may be, Lord, unfolded in our lives, that we may walk with you. May you bless our visitors upon this day. Do pray for Brother Max. Bless him where he is. Bless him in his business. Keep him safe, we'd pray. And Father, visitors, Lord, bless them, we'd ask, Lord, them that aren't here today in different places, Brother David with his car. We do ask and pray for your grace, your mercy, that you'd minister to this every need. Father, we've come in your name upon this day. Father, have the preeminence, Lord. Father, we take every spirit subject to your perfect will upon this day. Just let your will be done, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, saints. So we're looking at this issue of being in harmony with your theophany. But looking down the line of prayer, we've read Matthew chapter 6, which is called the Lord's Prayer. Now, one thing we find about harmony is that it's almost impossible for people from different backgrounds, different characters, different temperaments, different whatever it is, to be in harmony without prayer. That's why you find in the book of Acts, the people, when they were gathered together by the Lord in the upper room, they had to pray to get into a one accord, to come into a place of harmony, and that's through prayer. Now, it's very, very difficult to find any spiritual harmony without prayer. And if I could say it right from the beginning, I would really say it's impossible for someone to overcome, especially in this age, if you don't know how to pray. If you do not have a prayer life, if you don't know the reality of this most powerful weapon that God has put in our hands, it's impossible. I just wonder how people overcome temptation without prayer. I think just people don't. You know, when I see people who don't pray, I say, but how can this person overcome in this age? You know, how can you overcome hardship, calamity, infirmity, confusion, discouragement? There's so many things we're going to meet up with on a daily basis. And surely God, being our Father, you know, knowing what we're going to go through, He would have given us all the resources that we need to prevail and overcome. And one of the things He's given us is His Word. But you'll find that the Word without prayer, it's never fully effective. Now, these things have got to go together. You've got to have spirit and truth. Last week we were speaking about grace and truth. You've got to have spirit and truth as well. Otherwise, it's not so effective. No, getting in the word is powerful. It's your sword. But Paul, when he speaks about the whole armor of God, he says, take the sword of the Spirit. And then he finishes off and he says, praying always with all supplication. So, no, he summarizes the whole thing that this spiritual armor, to keep it effective inside of your life, it's going to need prayer. It's going to need you to get into that spiritual dimension of prayer. And that's how you'll find in the Bible, there's so many places where Jesus teaches about prayer. I mean, if you take the book of Matthew and just read it yourself, you're going to find chapter after chapter. It's very hard to find places where he's not speaking about prayer. He's speaking about the principles of prayer. We know some of them. He says, you know, men ought always to pray and not to faint. No, so he teaches perseverance in prayer. He teaches about a lot of different principles of prayer. And then the most powerful summary that he gives us is the Lord's Prayer. You know, the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer which, you know, we should just vainly repeat. You know, the Lord didn't give us the Lord's Prayer so that we could be like, say, in the Catholic Church where you pray, go and say so many Our Fathers and so many Hail Marys. Prayer isn't like that. Prayer is an expression of your soul. Genuine prayer is not prayed from your mind. Genuine prayer is something that comes from your heart. That if you are a son or a daughter of God, you've got a seed gene in you that came from God. And that wants to express itself. But it's in this earth. It's surrounded by your temperament. You've got your memory, your reasoning, all these things which the devil's going to play with. And that's why genuine prayer comes from the heart. It's an expression of your heart before God. It's when you get yourself in the presence of God and you pour out what's inside of your heart. When you have a fellowship, your heart gets into a spiritual dimension by faith which God has opened, and you speak from your heart to God. Genuine prayer isn't something that you premeditate, that you think about it to say, look, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say that. Genuine prayer is led by the Spirit. That something comes and something starts to move inside of you. And there's nothing that can minister healing and deliverance and encouragement even to you as an individual better than genuine prayer. You may be so burdened down, you're thinking of giving up, you're tempted, you tried, whatever it is. You shut yourself in your secret closet like the Bible says. And you get down to business in prayer. Not you don't say a prayer. The prophet says we don't say prayers, we pray prayers. There's a difference. Now we can be taught to say a prayer, which is just repeating good words. But to pray a prayer is something where something moves from deep within, and there's the deep inside of you that wants to speak to the deep that's out there that's going to respond to your prayer. And when you really pray the way that prayer should be prayed, you'll come away from there and the situation will be different. The prophet says prayer doesn't change God, prayer changes you. That's the important thing about prayer, and that for us to be in harmony with the purpose of God, it's impossible without prayer. Because we need to be changed. We need our thoughts to change, our attitudes to change many times. And the greatest thing that, the greatest factor, the greatest weapon God has given us is prayer. And when we move into that dimension and pray the way that God has desired us to pray, taking this great weapon, this great resource that God has given us of prayer, prayer makes a difference. Prayer changes things. It's a wonderful thing. The prophet says it in the message, healing of Jairus' daughter. He says, you know, I've read this part of the quote before. He says, we find Jesus spent so much time in prayer. So he was the word, but he realized just the word itself wasn't enough. Although he was the word made flesh, he needed to be in prayer. And the prophet says, and if Jesus had to spend much time in prayer, to stay in fellowship with the Spirit that was in him. So for Jesus to stay in harmony with the Logos that was in him, the Spirit that was in him, he needed to stay in prayer. So prayer allowed him to stay in harmony with the God who dwelt in him. And friends, though you may have received the Holy Ghost, God may be dwelling in you. You can get out of harmony with him. When you allow your reasoning to govern you, when you allow your feelings to govern you, you can make decisions, you can walk down a certain path that you're not walking in harmony with the Spirit that's in you. And what brings you back into harmony is when you get yourself prayed up once again. You get yourself in prayer. Prayer changes you. Prayer brings you back into the right condition that you can walk in harmony with Him once again. That spirit that's within you, you're lining yourself up once again through prayer, and there comes a harmony with the will of God for your life. It's an important thing. So the prophet says, and if Jesus had to spend so much time in prayer, how much time should we? He says, if you only knew what time in prayer meant. Now that's something that you can't teach somebody. That's something that somebody has to experience for themselves. You can encourage someone to pray. You can take people to pray like Jesus would. But in the end, you yourself have to learn how to pray. They came to Jesus and said, Master, teach us how to pray. Like John taught his disciples. So this isn't something that you automatically know how to do. Now this is something that you can get a divine instruction with and for, which is going to give you certain principles of prayer which you're going to require. So the prophet says that, he says, sometimes when you're in prayer, God changes the complete destination of different things that's going to happen. So certain things are going to happen, and you get in prayer, and God leads you in prayer, and through the power of prayer, you change the destination of things. Friends, that's a powerful thought, that your son may be heading to a lost eternity, but the power of prayer can turn them around. That your daughter may be going astray, but it's the power of prayer that can turn them around. The prophet says time in prayer can change the destination of things. So I would say this is something not to be taken lightly. But if there's one thing the devil doesn't want you to do is to pray. He doesn't mind us filling ourselves with other things, but he doesn't want us to pray. Because the devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon their knees. When he sees someone getting on their knees, he knows this can change things. This can change situations. This can change the destination of things. But it's a certain type of prayer. Now I know there's many people here who know, have gone into the advanced school of spiritual training on prayer. And it's a blessing, but there's many people here who haven't. And you can see it. That's how I thought we'd just build up from the basics and take it through prayer to maybe something more advanced as we go. But it's good to start with the basics once again. The prophet says, there might be something fixing to happen, and your prayer could change the whole situation. friends, what a resource God has given unto us. That the devil's moving things in a certain way. He thinks he's got you. He thinks he's put you in a trap. He thinks he's snared. He thinks he's taken possession of parts of your inheritance. And God just comes to you and says, I've given you the resource that you need, and that's prayer. Just get into prayer about this. And prayer can change the entire course of events once again. Then where the devil thought he had the upper hand over you, he finds himself perplexed. He finds himself defeated. He doesn't understand what changed things there. Friends, it was prayer that changed things, because prayer changes things. That's why Jesus had to teach his disciples. In the message, get the people to believe, the prophet says, we realize that prayer changes things. Now listen what he says it can change. Prayer changes a sinner to a Christian. My! Prayer can change you from death to life. One prayer today, an earnest prayer from your heart, will change you from a sinner into a Christian. One prayer! Friends, what is more powerful than prayer? I can preach you 1,000 sermons and not change you from a sinner into a Christian. But one heartfelt prayer can change you from a sinner into a Christian. Then he says, prayer changes a sick man into a well man. My one prayer, your earnest prayer today, can change you from being sick until you're well. That's the power of prayer. Prayer changes the entire destination of things. It changes the course of events. That's what prayer does, friends. Can you see why Satan doesn't want us to pray? Why so few people come for the prayer meetings? The devil's robbing you. I can't think of anything that the devil could rob you more of than when the saints come together to pray. And saints don't come to the prayer meeting. I say, oh my, That's the most important meeting, is the prayer meeting. Amen. The prophet says in unconditional covenant, he says prayer is the most forceful weapon that was ever put into the hands of anybody. Amen. It's a forceful weapon. All the other parts of the whole armor of God, apart from the sword of the Spirit, are defensive. There's a shield, there's a helmet, there's a breastplate and so forth. But prayer, friends, it's an offensive weapon. It's a forceful weapon. You can enforce certain things in prayer. You can move things back. You can possess things. You can stop things in their tracks. That's what genuine prayer does. That's real prayer. Then he says, in thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. What is the first thing a child of God has for refuge when the trial comes? The greatest weapon ever put in the hands of mankind, prayer. He says that's the first resource that you should use when trials come. The very first thing we should do when you find yourself in temptation, when you find yourself in affliction, in confusion, in discouragement, the first thing we should use is the weapon of prayer. The first thing. We shouldn't complain. We shouldn't phone somebody else up and complain. Oh, it's too hard for me. Oh, don't do that. Hallelujah. The first thing, genuine prayer. Shut yourself in your closet. Go before the throne of grace and use the mightiest weapon that God put into the hands of man. Use prayer. And prayer changes things. Prayer changes things, friends. And there's so many things, if you look in your life, you look in your environment, you look in your sphere of influence, that need to be changed. So what is it that we need to change them with? Is we need to use prayer. If you can put for us there, please, sister, James 5, verse 13. Let me just show you, this is a very scriptural principle. James 5, verse 13. Simple scriptures, but the principle is very great. The Bible says, is any afflicted? Is any among you afflicted? To be afflicted means to undergo hardship. It means to endure afflictions or to suffer trouble. Is anybody here like that today? There's lots of people in that situation. What does the Word give you as the resource, as the solution? It says, let him pray. Amen. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Amen. I mean, it can't be simpler than that, friends. Amen. But how many times? That's the last thing that we do. We want to put all these other things ahead of it. We want to reason it out. We want to try to manipulate the situation ourselves. We want to try to use our own ingenuity, our own intelligence, our own understanding. But the Bible says if you're going through hardships, if you're going through trials, going through afflictions, pray. That's the first thing. And that's why the prophet says, what's the first thing a child of God has for refuge when a trial comes? Pray is a refuge, friends. You will find through prayer you can endure things that a natural person can never endure. You can take burdens, you can go through things and come out successful, victorious the other side through things that will destroy other people. And it's not because you're better or you're wiser, but you've learned about prayer. You know the power of prayer. And you've used this great resource the way God wants it to be used. And that ability of prayer to change you and to change things ministers an entrance, a refuge for you that you can endure whatever storms in life come, no matter what circumstances come. Now, prayer, there's so many people praying today. Now, the Muslims, they pray 5 times a day. I mean, they're very committed in their prayer. Catholic people, they pray and they use the rosary, and that people are very sincere in what they're doing and those kind of things. All religions pray. But there's a certain type of prayer that's a genuine prayer. There's a certain type of prayer. And the first thing, before Jesus starts teaching his disciples how to pray, he teaches them how not to pray. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, just before he speaks about the Lord's Prayer, look what he says. He's first going to tell them, this isn't how you must pray. So it's good for us to understand that simple principle in Matthew 6, verse 5. Jesus says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So the first thing is, prayer is not something that we show off with to show that I can pray. You know, I know, look at the words that I say. That kind of prayer doesn't touch heaven. That kind of prayer doesn't change situations at all. But what does he say in verse 6? But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. That's Matthew 6, verse 6. Enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So, private prayer in the closet. That's the real place of prayer. You know, the prophet, I've said it many times, he says it's very difficult to pray in front of people. You'll never pray the way that you normally pray. But if you can go and hear a genuine prayer in their prayer closet, when they don't know anybody's listening to them, if you want to know what a person really is, listen to their prayer. Their private prayer. That's an expression of their soul. Once someone gets into the spirit of prayer, that is now the seed, gene of God, communicating with its maker. Communicating with God. You know, you'll start off in your prayer and your mind will be in the way. Like the prophet says, you'll be thinking about this. Did I, you know, turn off the stove at home, or, you know, all those different things. That starts off at first. But then there comes a certain gear that a person breaks into in prayer, but it's not your reasoning or your understanding praying anymore. But there's now a certain spiritual leadership. There's a certain spiritual quickening that comes and gets into your prayer. And now it's something from the heart. It's something from the soul. The soul is expressing itself before God. And that is who you really are if you've been born again. That's who you really are. Not what's here. Not what the devil says to you in your mind, and not how you feel many times in your body. But the born again soul. That soul inside of you. That's the real you. And genuine prayers when you allow your soul to find an expression in the presence of God. And it's very difficult to do it in front of other people. That's why it's such a wonderful thing to have a place where you can go and pray. Jesus would separate himself, get himself in the mountain sometimes, or find different places. The prophet says, you may have your place. He says, it may be driving in your car. He says, it can be like that. If you listen to the message, hear his voice. He says, you've got to have a certain place that you go and pray until you get yourself in his presence. He says, it may be kneeling by a stool. It may be kneeling by the bed. It may be coming to church. It may be waking up in the morning when everybody else in the house is still silent and quiet. But every single believer needs to have a prayer closet. And the spiritual power and effectiveness you have inside of your life is going to be directly proportional with how well you use that prayer closet. If you're not using that divine resource God has given you and God has given me, we're going to be so far less effective. And that's why the enemy so much desires to fight against this. So the first thing, have a prayer closet. Have your own place of prayer. Have your own time of prayer. Don't give the Lord the worst of your day. Don't wait until you're tired and you've finished everything up and you've finished all your assignments and all of that. It's okay, now I need to go and pray. Give the Lord the choice part of the day. Find the best that you can find in your schedule and give it to the Lord. Let it not be a sacrifice that you offer that's got one eye or that's got a spot or a blemish. Let it be the best of your flock. When you've got strength, when your mind is clear, when there's a burden inside of your soul, lay everything else aside. Separate yourself at that kind of a time. Give him an offering at that kind of a time. And it comes up before his throne as a sweet smelling savor. It comes up before him, and those prayers are stored up in heaven, friends. Those prayers are stored up in heaven and poured out. And the answer comes in God's appointed time and God's appointed season. But it's really, really important that this must be the focus of your spiritual life. This must be something that everything else can be secondary, but I need my time before the Lord. Because friends, if it's anything else but that, with the busy schedules we live in these kind of places, you'll relegate God to just a short prayer before you sleep and a short prayer in the morning just when you wake up. And you'll be praying and your mind will be still full of this, that, and the other. And you'll never get yourself into that place of real prayer which changes things, which transforms things, which changes you, which brings you back into harmony with the one who dwells inside of you. You don't want to be spending too many days without having genuine prayer before the throne of grace. It's an important thing. Now the second thing is in verse 7. He tells us the next thing that we mustn't do in prayer. He says, and when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. So you can tell genuine prayer doesn't have to be long. If you're in the Spirit, you don't need to pray long. If there's a certain petition, a certain urgent need, but this obviously depends on the life you've been living leading up to your prayer. If you've been walking in the world, walking in the flesh, playing around with the world, then the crisis comes, you're going to have to spend a lot of time in prayer before you get into that place where things start becoming effective once again. That's why it becomes a prayer life. You don't say a prayer. Prayer's got to become your life. A genuine believer prays without ceasing, like the Bible says. You know, whenever there's a situation, because prayer doesn't have to be audible. You don't have to speak your prayer. You can pray from within. You can be putting your petition before the Lord. You find many cases in the Bible, but he's telling us here, Jesus, don't use vain repetition. Don't think by just multiplying your words or anything like that, that it's going to make your prayer effective. That doesn't mean anything. And now it's good that he said that, because straight after that, he gets to the Lord's Prayer. And so many people use the Lord's Prayer in vain repetition. But he's just told us, don't use vain repetition. You know, so for us just to take the Lord's Prayer and to say, Our Father, which is good. There's nothing wrong with doing it once in a while. The prophet did it in his church. If you go and search, there's different places that the prophet would use that prayer. It's a good prayer to use. But you can't let that be the basis of your prayer life. That you're saying the same, the form of prayer that Jesus has said. Jesus isn't bringing us the Lord's Prayer as for us to use as it is. He's teaching us to pray in this manner. He's going to show us certain spiritual principles in the Lord's Prayer which make an effective prayer. And we'll see that just one of them which is important as we go. This is a model prayer. That's what it is. So we don't use vain repetitions. We don't pray to be seen of men. You know, it's got to be something which has got the right motive, right objective. Get yourself alone with the Lord. Shut yourself in your closet and speak seriously to the Lord. Get down to business. Don't have to use big words. Speak what's in your heart. Tell him what you feel. Tell him where you are. Tell him what you're going through. Give him his position. Submit and yield yourself before him in prayer. That's what prayer does for us. So Jesus, now having given us many other things about prayer, he starts now to give us the spiritual principles of what really makes an effective prayer. And that's what the Lord's Prayer is. This isn't something, like I say, which is just always to be repeated verbatim. But there's some principles inside of here. It's a simple prayer. You can teach your children to pray the Lord's Prayer, and it's good to do that. But the more you get into the Lord's Prayer, any believer here has ever gone and really looked to say, but what does this really mean? It's God hiding himself in simplicity. It's such a simple prayer, but the deeper you get into it, the more it gets deeper and it unfolds itself and you see more and more of God, your relationship with him, your relationship with your brethren, what God wants you to do, what God wants you to be, what God wants to be with you. It's all hidden in the simplicity of that pattern when Jesus said, pray after this manner. Because friends, prayer, like I say, isn't so much the words that you say. I find a good definition of prayer. To pray means to speak consciously. Amen. You know, so you know what you're doing. Amen. With or without words. To the Lord with a definite aim. Amen. So pray, you're coming with a definite aim. You see, you're coming conscious. You know, you're coming before the Lord. It's aimed in the right direction. You can use words. It's wonderful to use words. It helps. But there's situations where you won't be able to use words. But that doesn't make any difference to God. But prayer has to have a definite aim. It's got to be prayed in that kind of a way. You know, you bring your prayer before the Lord. They say that prayer, the prophet says something similar. He says, man is at his greatest and highest when he's on his knees and comes face to face with God. My. That's a real man. The prophet says you don't judge a man by the size of his muscles. It says you judge a man by the bags in his trousers from prayer. Amen. That's what makes a real man in the sight of God. Is somebody like James in the Bible who had camel's knees. His knees were calloused because of so much prayer. And that's why a person, you are at your greatest in the sight of God when you are in genuine prayer before him. Amen. Because you will be in a certain spiritual state, you'll be in a certain spiritual condition, putting yourself before the Lord, giving Him His position, you taking your position, and God looks down at that, and that pleases Him, friends. And that's when things start to move. Now, the age we're living in, it values so much. People look at us so much by what we do, yeah, not by what we are. That's the weak point with. Remember, we looked at the Ephesian church as well. They got so busy doing so many things for the Lord, but they lost their first love. And the Lord looked at what they were, not what they were doing. That's what interests the Lord. That's the important thing about it. So when we're praying, it's a similar sort of a principle. The true measure stick of who you are and where you are spiritually isn't the activity you're doing as a Christian. Isn't all the work that you're doing, but it's your prayer life. If you want to really judge your spiritual temperature, it's your prayer life. That's going to show where you really are, spiritually speaking. You know, if you don't have a prayer life, you can still be busy in the things of the Lord. You can still do a lot of things for the kingdom of God. But the real reflection, God looks at what you are in your soul, the state of your heart. He's not really looking at all the things that we do. People will look at all the things that we do and say, oh, she does so many things, or he does so many things. They must be in harmony with God. That doesn't mean a thing. That doesn't mean a thing. It's the spiritual state of your soul. And that is reflected by your prayer life. That's how you will know where you are before the Lord. If there was time in your life before when you had a far greater prayer life, you've fallen from your first love. You've fallen from what you used to be. You may be busier and hold offices in the kingdom and do a lot of other things, but look at your prayer life. Look at the state and condition of your soul before God in that kind of a way, because prayer is the real, real barometer to show you where you are spiritually. And I think it's a good thing to be honest before the Lord. That's why I've got the quote here. You don't judge a man by the calluses in his hands. A man may have worked his fingers to the bone, yeah? The prophet says, but you judge him by the bags in the knees of his pants where he's been praying. That's how you know somebody who's spiritual, by the bags in their knees. Not by so much the things we do, but it's this issue of prayer, this condition of the heart. So we don't want vain repetitions. People look at the Muslims and say, ah, they must be very spiritual people praying five times a day. It's a form of prayer. I mean, that's not real prayer. No, to get down on your knees and say the same thing five times a day. You know, I know we may have a bomb in here next week for me saying it, but it's the truth. That's not real prayer. That's like getting on your knees five times a day and just saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and you say that five times a day. And you say, I pray five times a day. That's not effective prayer. I don't think any of those Muslims knows how to pray. It's only when you meet Christ. It's only when you meet the grace of God. It's only when you're born again, you start learning about prayer. What real prayer is. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is your soul coming into the presence of God. You pouring yourself before the Lord and God moving on your behalf and God ministering to your needs. That's what real prayer is, friends. It's got to be something that's effective. That's why he says saying prayers versus praying prayers. Look at the prophets of Baal. They prayed for hours longer than Elijah. They used 20 times more energy than Elijah did. They jumped on the altar. They did all the different things that they could do. And the heavens were like brass. No one heard that prayer. But there was a man who had been walking with God, Elijah. He didn't have to shout. He didn't have to say a lot of things. He just came and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that I am your servant and that you are the Lord God and that you are turning the hearts back again. And the fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. So what comes before your prayer makes the difference in your prayer. How you live leading up to your time of prayer. That's what makes your prayer effective or not effective. It's not how much we can jump. It's not how much we can shout. Not how much we can sweat and cut ourselves and let the blood run down like the prophets of Baal. That was all nice religious activity. But God never paid any attention to any of it. And friends, we don't want that kind of prayer. We don't want vain repetitions. We don't want to be just beating the air like Paul says. We don't have so much time for prayer in this life. It's a busy life. So if the Lord could teach us the principles of prayer so that when we do come for prayer, when we do get that opportunity to come before Him, it can be an effective time. It can change us, change things, bring us back into harmony now with the purpose of God for our lives. Minister an entrance once again to us into that channel, that prophecy of our lives that He's called us to, so we can fulfill what God has ordained us to fulfill. But it's going to take prayer, friends. It's not how long, I just put you, it's not how long and it's not how loud that we pray. It doesn't have to be loud. Eliezer went to the well. He'd been walking with God. And as he got to the well at the evening time, the Bible says he prayed within himself. And God so heard that prayer that God recorded in His Word. He never said a word from His mouth, but you can read about it in the Bible. And how many times did the prophet in the prayer line say, I heard you praying the other day. He said, you were praying and you were asking God this, 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 this. And that time the prophet was with Brother Biskel sitting in the restaurant going up the Alaska Highway. And the prophet said, God in the spirit, God in discernment. He said, Brother Eddie, there was a certain woman in the prayer line. And another woman led her through. He said, maybe she's praying just now. It says, and just to help you, believe, I'll tell you, ask him, he'll tell me her name. Her name is Mrs. Fair. In English, we'd say fear, but her name is Mrs. Fair. Friends, prayer gets heard by God. Prayer does something in a heavenly dimension. And people who break into that dimension, like prophets, they can hear some of those things that are being said. So if a prophet can hear it, how much more does God hear our prayers? When you just get yourself on your knees before the Lord. Nehemiah before the king, if you read in Nehemiah chapter 1 or chapter 2, when he came before the king, and the king looked at him and said, Nehemiah, why are you so sorrowful? This is nothing but sadness. Now, you weren't allowed to be sad in sorrow before the king, in the presence of the king. And the Bible says, Nehemiah says, and I made my prayer unto my God. He never said a word. He never got on his knees before the king. He prayed before the Lord. And between the king saying his sentence and Nehemiah answering his sentence, he made a prayer that hit the heavens. And then when he spoke now to the king, God gave him favor. So it doesn't have to be an audible prayer. But what makes all the difference is if you've been walking with God before you come to the time of prayer. If you're walking in the will of God. Now, you can use volume. There's nothing wrong. Jesus in Gethsemane. He was a stone's cast from the disciples, but they heard every word that he was saying. Because it was a prayer of desperation. He needed to be serious with God. You know, I know there's certain people who pray. They don't think they're praying loud, but they pray loud. Like Brother George, if ever you stay with Brother George in a house, he gets up in the morning and he thinks he's praying quietly, but he doesn't realize that he's praying loud, you see. Yet some people have that thing. They just pray and then they start praying loud. Other people, they'll whisper in prayer. It doesn't really matter the way that we pray. It's the desperation in the heart. It's the spiritual condition in here that brings the results. It's the earnestness of your prayer. It's coming with all your heart, a wholehearted prayer. That's what's going to make the difference rather than the volume or the length or the form of the prayer that we pray. Those are all secondary things in the sight of God. The effectiveness of God, of prayer comes if you've been walking with Him and you come and continue on in a certain spiritual channel when you put yourself on your knees before the Lord. Now, just one principle I'd like to take. I don't want to speak much about the Lord's Prayer. Just the one principle that I really like. Matthew chapter 6, look in verse 9 and 10. There's seven things in the Lord's Prayer. There's seven different things. Three of them, we'll see, are for us to the Lord. The next three, we'll see, we're putting our petitions for the Lord to minister to us. And then the seventh one is hallowed be thy name. The seventh is always praise. But the first three are what I want. Look in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. So use this pattern. This should be the emphasis, this type of prayer. Our Father which art in heaven. Here's the first one. Hallowed be thy name. What's the next one? Verse 10. Thy kingdom come. The third one. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the first part of prayer, we put in the emphasis on Him. It's God's glory. It's God's kingdom. It's His will above our needs. Now that's where we normally get our prayers wrong. We want to come and bring all of our needs to the Lord. You want to tell the Lord our shopping list. You want to tell the Lord all these other things that are going on. But Jesus says, after this manner pray ye. And he says at another place, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So genuine spiritual prayer at first, it's giving God his position, giving the kingdom its position, giving God's will its position inside of your life. So the first thing you do when you come to prayer is you're saying, Lord, I want to do your will. Father, I want you to be glorified inside of my life. Lord, help me in my life that I might better reflect you. Lord, I want other people to see you in me. You see, that kind of prayer. Lord, I want your name in this day that's being blasphemed. I want you to live in me, reflect yourself in me, that people may know that you are real, that you are God. You see, it's putting God's kingdom first. You're putting his glory first. Lord, you be glorified inside of my life. That's the ultimate thing that I desire, Lord. And then the next three things, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Deliver us from evil. Lead us on to temptation. Those different aspects of prayer, they have their place. But friends, this is the way you pray should reflect the priorities in your life. Amen. If your life is full of self, that you're just thinking of yourself, you're just selfish, you just wanted to meet all of your own needs, you're not even thinking of the kingdom of God. That's going to be reflected in your prayer. Because when you get in prayer, it's just going to be, Lord, you know that I need this, Lord. Father, I'm praying for this. Lord, won't you give me this? Friends, that's a very immature prayer. But if the priorities of your life are right and you're putting the kingdom first, and even if your needs aren't met, but as long as God's purpose is being fulfilled, it's going to be reflected in your prayer. Because when you come in prayer, you're going to be seeking, Lord, glorify your name. And we'll look at Jesus when he prayed. What does he say? Father, glorify your son, that your son may glorify you. He had a lot of physical needs, Jesus. He was facing the greatest crisis a man ever faced up to. But what was the emphasis of his prayer in his soul? Father, glorify thy name. And immediately heaven responded. And God says, I've already glorified it and I will glorify it again. And people said that it thundered. Friends, that's a serious principle of prayer. And that's the first thing Jesus is teaching us in the Lord's Prayer, is get your priorities right. But you can't have the right priorities in prayer if they're not right in your life. If you are numero uno in your life, you're the most important thing in the galaxy, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to come before the Lord in prayer and to pray this kind of prayer. But when you're really born again and you allow the seed in there, the seed that came from God to start to express itself, that seed has one desire, and that is to do the will of God. That seed has one desire, and that's to glorify his name. Because that seed lines up with your theophany. Your theophany perfectly does the will of God. It's in perfect accordance with the will of God. So once you start getting in harmony, you start giving preeminence to your soul. You feed your soul. You speak to God from your soul. You let him minister to your soul. You're going to start lining up with your heavenly vision. You're going to start lining up with the prophecy of your life, of what God spoke of you before the foundation of the world. But it's got to be something from the heart, something from the soul. This isn't something that people can educate us into, or people can tell us we must do this, that, which we must do. But to genuinely do the will of God for it to be acceptable, it's got to come from the heart. Two people can do exactly the same thing, like Cain and Abel, and God accept one and reject the other. Now, both they made offerings before the Lord. Both had altars. You know, two people can do the same religious work. And one, it brings the blessing down from heaven. And the other one, God has no respect unto it because of the condition of the heart. And friends, we need to ask ourselves today, what is our first priority in life? Is it our needs or is it his glory? Is it that his will be done or is it that our will be done? That determines who a genuine believer is. And the Lord's Prayer shows us that. The first three items in the Lord's Prayer are all to do with the glory of God. And then the next three are to do with the needs that we have. And friends, you've got to keep that priority in prayer, and we've got to keep that priority in our everyday lives. And what a blessed life it would be. And Christ himself came and lived it before us. He had no place to lay his head. He could have been praying for a big house. He could have been praying for a comfortable bed. He didn't even have enough money to pay the temple tax at one time. Had to go and catch a fish, Peter. You think Jesus couldn't have prayed and multitudes of shekels would have come down from the heavens? They would have. But Jesus lived this before us. The supreme principle of the life of Jesus was, Father, glorify thy name. That's the most important thing. Let me fulfill your purpose. Let your name be hallowed in my life. Let your kingdom come on earth now in my life as it is in heaven. Let my life on earth be a reflection of what's in heaven. Friends, that's a serious prayer that you're praying here. This isn't just a light prayer that you repeat some words. But what are you really saying? Can you see why this is really the disciples' prayer? It's not the Lord's prayer. And this prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Unbelievers, it's not right for them really to pray this prayer. You know that it shouldn't really that they pray this prayer. Because how can an unbeliever be saying, thy will be done? Yet the person's living in sin, open sin, not even thinking of the glory of God. Now, this kind of prayer is for the disciples. Amen. A person in the spirit of discipleship Amen. Can pray this prayer. Amen. A person who's really made Christ Lord of their life. They've got the right spiritual priorities. This is your prayer. Amen. This is for you. Jesus is teaching you and he's teaching me as his disciples how we should pray. And the first thing that he says, pray and say, Father, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Oh, friends. Now, if I'm going to be shouting at my wife, kicking the dog in the morning, you know, angry with my neighbors all the time, am I hallowing the name of God? Is his name going to be respected on earth by the way that I'm living? So can you see when you're saying that, you're saying, Lord, please help me here. Give me the strength. Give me the resources. I want to overcome the flesh. I want to overcome the carnal, the old man. Lord, I want to be a real reflection of a believer. Lord, I want to live a life that hallows your name. That although people may laugh at religion, they may mock the name of Jesus. But Lord, help me to live a life that when people see me, they say, hey, be quiet. That's a genuine Christian. There's something different about this kind of a person. So that's what you're asking the Lord for when you're saying, Lord, hallowed be thy name. You know, in heaven, his name is already hallowed, friends. The angels, there's no greater name. But on earth, his name isn't hallowed. So we as his disciples, we have this responsibility to pray for this, to say, Lord, I want your name to be hallowed in me. I want people to respect the name of Christ because of you living in me. Because there's a spiritual reality that I'm living before the people. That when people are mocking and blaspheming and things at work, when you walk in the room, they keep quiet. They won't do it anymore. They don't. That's hallowing his name. And friends, that's a good thing to pray for first in your Lord's prayers. Lord, you hallow your name. Amen. And then what's the next thing? Thy kingdom come. Friends, the kingdom is in you. Amen. Think of how things are in heaven. In heaven, there's no disunity. There's no disunity now among the angels. So when you're praying, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come in me. You're saying, let the same order that's in the heavenly be reflected in me. Let me be a real reflection of the kingdom. That's what I say. When you start getting deeper and deeper into the Lord's Prayer, you start saying, but yay, this is a challenging prayer, this one here. This is a challenge to a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ to say, Lord, I want to live this kind of a life. I want my life to be a reflection of what's happening above. That's being in harmony with your theophany, friends. That's reflecting the heavenly tabernacle like Moses did and you're building it upon earth. And the Lord wants what he's reflecting of you, what's recorded of you up there. He wants you to be reflecting that. He wants me to be reflecting that more and more as we prevail and overcome over ourselves. And without prayer, it's not possible. You can never prevail over yourself without prayer. You're going to have to be like Jacob sometimes and wrestle with the Lord so that you overcome yourself. And you come out of that prayer and you're a different kind of a person. You've got a different kind of walk. You look at life in a different kind of a way. You've got a different kind of a name that you're living. Friends, that's what real prayer is. May the Lord really help us in prayer. That's the most important thing. So we should reflect in our lives these priorities. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus had to pray that. Not my will, but thine be done. And how did he overcome? He overcame in prayer. When there was that as a natural man, him being a man born of flesh and blood, there was the tendency that it was almost unthinkable for him to go through what he had to go through. He naturally as a man felt to shrink back from the cross. He didn't want to have to die like that. That's why I said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But when he prayed, he felt there's no harmony here. There's no harmony. If I'm asking this, that's not in harmony with the will of my Father. And he went back that third time and he prayed. The Bible says, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And the prophet says, if Jesus had to pray earnestly, how much more will we have times we have to pray earnestly to prevail? And when Jesus prayed that third time in Gethsemane, there came a certain breaking point. Something changed inside of him, as a man, naturally speaking. And then he submitted himself to the will of God. And then he could say, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But it's not going to be easy sometimes, friends, because you're going to be married to somebody who's a big headache sometimes. You're going to have children that are a big headache sometimes. And you're going to have to go before the Lord and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done here. I can handle this my way. I can do the way that makes me feel good. But Lord, I would rather that let it be as it is in heaven. Let it be on earth. And without prayer, I just don't understand how we're going to do it, friends. I just don't understand how we get ourselves yielded and submissive and able to overcome ourselves in that kind of a way without prayer. I don't think that it's possible. I think we may be able to imitate it and, you know, restrain ourselves for a season, but to really overcome ourselves and to really overcome that situation, it needs prayer. Genuine, sincere prayer. But prayer, the Lord's prayer, His glory, number one, our wants and our needs, number two. And friends, that's a powerful life. But the devil's going to always be coming to offer you, why don't you turn the stones into bread? You know, things can be easier for you. You know, all the things that he offered to Jesus. He's always going to come to try to tempt you away from that kind of a walk. He's always going to come and try to say, you don't have to live like this. You don't have to go through these things. You can be free of all of these things. But what you do is you gird up your loins once again and you get yourself into the refuge of prayer. And you go and speak to the Lord once again. And you'll come from there like David did in Psalm 73 when he says, I was like a beast. I was envying the wicked in their ways. But when I went into the house of the Lord, then I considered the end. Oh Lord, I've been as a beast. I've been as a fool before you. But Lord, I'm continually before you. And you shall guide me with your eye. You can read Psalm 73. He had come to a stage, he was envying the wicked. He hadn't been in the presence of the Lord enough. He had been spending too much time in this dimension of time. And he needed to get himself in prayer and break through and get his will and his thoughts, get that subdued once again. Until now he understood heavenly things. He got himself back in harmony with the heavenly purpose that God had established for him. And friends, we're going to need that on a regular basis as his sons and his daughters. Now, one of the greatest prayers that God answered in the Bible, let's have a look in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. This is a prayer that really pleased God. But 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 6. But I want to first show what happened before the prayer. I like that. It's about Solomon. This is Solomon's prayer. When he was first made king. In verse 6, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, it says, and Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation. And he offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. So what's happened at the beginning of this story? Solomon goes to the brazen altar, which speaks of repentance, which speaks of atonement, which speaks of putting your sins under the blood. And then it speaks of the burnt offering. It speaks of offering something that's pleasing before the Lord. To you and I, we're called to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. So he had really, really made an offering before the Lord here that was outstanding. You know, so the man was walking with God, friends. He did something that pleased God. And to prove it, look in the next verse. And in that night, did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I will give you. Hey, friends, what a thing to be asked. The Lord said, ask what you will. I'll do it for you. Something moved heaven. The man made an offering on earth, friends, came up as a sweet-smelling sacrifice before the Lord, and heaven came down at night, and the Lord said, Solomon, I'm pleased with this. Ask what you will. Now look what he asked. Verse 8. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, verse 9, let thy promise unto David my father be established. What first? God's glory. He's not saying, Lord, I've got enemies there. They're fighting against me. Lord, I don't have enough. This visitor's coming next week. I don't have enough to feed them. What's he saying? Lord, let your word that you spoke concerning me be established. Let the word that you spoke to David, let it be fulfilled in my life. Lord, manifest your glory. Lord, let it come to pass the way that you've spoken it, Lord. Verse 10. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? Our friends, the man hasn't put one thing on the shopping list. He's saying, Lord, fulfill your word and give me wisdom, give me knowledge so I can minister to your people, so I can fulfill the purpose that you sent me to fulfill. Can you see Solomon's praying first for the glory of God? He's got it right, friends. He's praying it the right kind of a way. Amen. He's gone and he's put everything upon the altar. And now the Lord said, ask what you will. And Solomon at this time in his life, he's tender before the Lord. He's walking in harmony with God's purpose for his life. So what is his first priority? Is Lord, let it be done what you have said. Lord, give me the resources I need to fulfill your will. Lord, minister to me the wisdom, minister to me to the knowledge, that I might be your servant, that I might fulfill what you've spoken unto my father David. Friends, that's a serious spiritual thing the man was asking. And the next verse, and God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart. Can you see it was a prayer from his heart? Amen. This is what his desire was. His desire was for the will of God. His desire was for the glory of God. Because this was in your heart. And you have not asked for riches, or wealth, or honor, or the life of your enemies. Neither has you asked for a long life, but you have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I've made you king. Verse 12. Wisdom and knowledge is granted to you. And I will give you riches and wealth. You see, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things are going to be added to you. God will take care of the rest. But get the things right. His glory first, your needs secondary. And see how God will minister to your needs. He will take personal responsibility for your needs. He will. That's what he did to Solomon. I'll give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had before thee. Neither shall any after thee have the like. None of the kings of Israel had what Solomon had. He became a type of the millennium, the prophet says. The kingdom of Israel in the days of Solomon, when he walked with God, was a type of the millennium. Amen. Friends, that kind of prayer, when you find a prayer, God records the prayer of a man in the Bible. Pay attention to that prayer. Because God gives us these things that you may learn thereby. The prayer of Daniel chapter 9, the prayer of Ezra, the prayer of Nehemiah. There's different prayers God recorded in his word. So there must be something about those prayers that God wants a real, real meditation and spiritual reflection in us to say, but there was something pleasing to God about this prayer. May God help me to pray like this. May my priorities be like this. So what did he do? He was praying in accordance with God's will for his life. Now that's the place of power in prayer. When you start moving in accordance with God's will for your life, and when you start praying for things that are in accordance with God's will for your life, you're going to find you're not alone in that prayer. God's going to quicken you. You're going to find a dimension in prayer that you've never found before. You'll find a certain channel you start getting and you start praying about certain things. And there's the reality of God. There's the quickening power of God comes to you in that. What is God doing? God's showing you're moving into harmony here. You're moving in the right direction. Yeah, God spiritually, if you've got spiritual discernment, is confirming to you going in the right direction. This is my will for my life. But there's other things we try to pray for, friends, and it's just words. You know what it's like. You go and you try to pray, but it's like it's not getting anywhere. There's other times you start to pray and it starts to hit the heavens because You're moving in the spiritual channel. Look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the principle that Solomon, maybe without realizing it, he hit this one on the head. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the key. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. I mean, God hears you, you know that He heard you. Because He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So there's certain things you don't pray about, you know, but God is hearing this. This is pleasing before the Lord. You're starting to move in a harmony with His divine will. Because you know, if you ask anything according to His divine will, friends, we can pray 3-4 hours like the prophets of Baal. There was nothing of the will of God in their prayers. It was just noise. There was no response from heaven. There was no quickening power. There was no channel open between them and God. It was just religion in action at its best or its worst. But like I said, when Elijah stepped up, heaven started to move. Something started to take place. And that's why this kind of prayer asks from a certain spiritual condition, the right kind of a motive. This is where you start to see things start to move and things start to change. And destinies can be changed in prayer. And you know, the destinations of things, like the prophet says. But you've got to find this channel first. You've got to be praying according to His will. And if you're not living according to His will, it's difficult to pray according to His will, friends. Amen. But if you're living in His will, the best you can, friends, putting your sins under the blood, making your mistakes, as all of us do, but you're bringing yourself back in harmony with this great resource of prayer. When you're living in His will, you're going to start praying in His will. And something's going to start taking place spiritually. Now, you wish Solomon had have stayed in that spiritual condition all the days of his life, but he didn't. We know that he got away from the will of God. He got out of harmony with the will of God for his life. He married strange women and he made temples in Jerusalem and all of that. And God didn't bless him after that. God rent the kingdom away and just gave him certain tribes because of his father David's sake. You know, so think back in your life to that time when he was real. That time when you wanted to glorify his name. The Bible says, remember from where you've fallen. Amen. Then go back and do the first works. And it's not going to be easy without prayer. It's going to start in prayer, friends. If you're really wanting that revival in your life. Let's look at one modern day example, which is our good sister in Memphis, Tennessee. In Memphis. The colored lady in Memphis. When the prophet was on the aeroplane flying, and then there came a great storm. And then he heard all of a sudden over the intercom, you know, there's a great storm. Now we're sorry, we're going to have to land in Memphis. The prophet wasn't going there. And they came down and they landed, came, took them all, put them in the hotel for the night. The prophet gets up the next morning, taking his letters to post them in the post box, and the Lord says, just keep walking. Amen. And he leads him all the way down into the colored district. And he meets now that he says that Aunt Jemima with her man's shirt tied around her head standing by the gate early in the morning. And as he walks past, she says, good morning, parson. And he says, how did you know that I was a parson? And he says, would you mind if I tell you my story? And then she starts telling the story. He says, have you ever read in the Bible of the Shunammite woman who could have no children? I was that woman. And I prayed and God gave me a child. But my young boy started to go astray. And he got caught up in the wrong crowd and he got a venereal disease. And it's eaten the valves of his heart and he's lying in the room dying now. And the doctors have said there's nothing more that can be done. Now we'll pick up the story from there. Listen how the prophet says when this woman prayed, when the prophet went in. This is in Expectation 1951. Then while she was over here, her boy was over there, I said, Auntie, let's pray. She never said anything about his healing. Amen. She wanted him to be saved. Hallelujah. Hey, that was what she was praying for. I just want you to be saved. Amen. Everything else is secondary. Amen. Oh, friends, that's seeking the kingdom. Hallelujah. And so before he went, before he died, she wanted to have a witness that he was saved. Amen. And that old saint got down there on the floor. I heard her pray. Oh my. She opened up that heart. And the tears rolling down her cheeks. She said, Lord, if you'll just let him tell me that he's going to be with Jesus, she said, I'll be happy. And I just knelt there and held my head down and cried like a baby. That wasn't just a prayer, friends. This was a prayer that hit heaven. There was something about a prayer of a praying mother. There was grace. This young man had gone astray. He was dying of a sexually transmitted disease. But here was a mother's love that wasn't going to let go of the soul of her son until something took place in the heavenly realm and she had a witness inside of herself that he's saved. His soul is going to be with the Lord. My. James chapter 5, verse 16. Let's put this almost our last scripture. I'll continue reading some of what the prophet says about this woman. But I just want to put the scripture up. James 5, verse 16. This is the type of prayer that this colored lady prayed. Confess your faults one to another. So if you want to pray proper prayer, don't go with sin. If you've done something wrong to your brother, your sister, go and confess your wrongs to your sister, your brother. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer. So it's not just an intellectual, half-hearted prayer that changes things. It's an effectual, fervent prayer. There's an earnestness. There's, like he says, she opened up her heart. That's an fervent prayer. There's a fervency in your prayer. There's an earnestness. There's a sincerity. Even down to a desperation in your prayer. That this might be the only chance that you have. Lord, I need to hear from you now. No, that kind of prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Another translation says, makes tremendous power available. And she was a righteous woman. Otherwise, God wouldn't have sent Elijah to her. So this was an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous mother. A righteous woman. She also fulfilled this scripture. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. We'll see it now in the next quote. Luke 18, verse 1. Again, Jesus speaking of the principles of prayer. And he spoke a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray. And not to faint. That means don't lose heart. Don't give up too quickly. If you gotta keep knocking, keep knocking. He who asks, keep on asking, shall receive. If you keep on knocking, the door shall be opened unto you. That's the promises of the Word of God. But sometimes we pray and say, but I prayed, but God didn't answer. That's a poor excuse of a prayer. That's a poor excuse of a spiritual principle. Be effectual, be fervent, go back again. Go and speak to him about it again. Keep speaking to him until a witness comes inside of your soul that the transaction has been transacted in heavenly places, that something's going to change. Until there's a divine response to your prayer. But sometimes God allows us to pray many times about the same thing, friends. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach us. Pray always and don't faint. And then he gives us the parable of the unjust judge. That's a principle of prayer that he's giving us here. But many times we're giving up too early, friends. And the Lord's storing up those prayers. They're coming up before the throne. In the book of Revelation, the prayers of the saints in golden bowls, golden vials, stored up before the throne of God. And just in a certain season, they poured before the throne of God. Then heaven moves on behalf of his people. Keep storing up those golden, the odors of your prayer up there. And one of these days, that prayer is going to hit a certain point that it's going to fill the cup to the brim. And then it's going to overflow like Cornelius. And your prayer is going to come up before the Lord as a sweet savor. It's going to come up as a memorial before God. And God's going to send down the supernatural on your behalf to minister to the situation that you're in. But it needs perseverance in prayer. And that's one of the keys. Now listen to her, what she says. She said, I've prayed and I've prayed. The doctor, he's been here. My son's been unconscious for 2 days. The doctor said there's no need for him coming back because there's nothing can be done. But I've prayed and I've prayed. And I said, Lord, don't let my baby die like that. Let him be saved before he dies. And she said, I was on my knees all night last night. And along about 3 o'clock this morning, I dreamed a dream. And the Lord told me to come here and stand at this gate. And he had sent the parson down wearing the light suit and the light hat. And she said, I knowed you. God works on both ends of the line, you know. Could you imagine God stopping that aeroplane? Prayer changes the entire destination of things. That plane didn't have a destination of Memphis, Tennessee. It was supposed to fly somewhere else. But the prophet says the prayer of an ignorant colored woman. Just a simple woman used to make her living washing people's clothes on a washboard. Changed the destination. Caused a storm to rise up. To divert an aeroplane, the prophet says, and kept that aeroplane upon the ground until God administered to her need. My friends, that's the resource we have available to us right now. That very resource. He says that, she says that. Could you imagine, the prophet says, God stopping that aeroplane for that colored woman way down there? That shows the sovereignty and love of God. God is no respect of persons. No, sir. God doesn't, she didn't even believe. She was like a Baptist woman or something. The prophet says she didn't believe the type of message. She didn't even know about divine healing. But it was a mother's love. It was a praying mother. A righteous mother applying the token. That's what she was doing in prayer. To her son who had gone so far away from God. Backslidden so far from God. Now, don't get me wrong. Last week I spoke of grace. Grace never compromises, friends. Grace never compromises with sin. Don't make grace into disgrace. Grace looks at the need and ministers to the need, like we said. She never, I'm sure, compromised with this young man's sin. But it got to a stage now that she started to see, I need to stop talking to this young man about God. And I need to speak to God about this young man. Because this has gone beyond the doctors. This has gone beyond the natural realm of things. This needs God to intervene now. I need grace. I need sovereign grace to step in here. And listen what she says to the prophet when she's praying. I'll finish with this quote on this prayer. This is in the message, at thy word. She kissed him. This is him giving it another place. She kissed him and knelt down. Well, I asked her, I said, would you lead in prayer, auntie? And she said, yes, sir. And she raised up her hands and the prayer. I prayed like, cried like a baby. Holding the foot, that little old foot of that little old bed there. I held to that bed and cried when that old saint poured out her heart to God. The prophet says, I never heard such in my life. Hey. She said, Lord, I done the best that I could do. You know, I washed over the washboard for the white folks. And I tried to take him to church. But he got with the wrong company. Now, dear Lord, you're taking him home. And don't let him die a sinner, Lord. Let me have some consolation in my heart that my baby's saved and that you've took him back. She said, your parson is here now. Lord, I just pray that you will do it like that. And when she said amen, wiping those old black cheeks and reached over and kissed that boy again, brother, something swept through my heart. Heaven responded, friends. Heaven responded to a mother's love in that situation. My, what a prayer that she prayed. She hugged him in her arms like that and patted him and said, Mammy's baby. Do you hear, Mammy? Then the prophet says, let me pray. Now the prophet never prayed a prayer that you and I would think would shake heaven. He just said, Lord, I've missed my aeroplane. I don't know why I'm here. But could it be that I'm here for this young boy? Lord, have mercy. And then the young man sort of say, Mama, it's getting light in the room. It didn't have to be a long prayer. He didn't have to jump up and down and shout. Naaman wanted that as well. When Naaman came and he expected Elisha to come out. And Elisha just sent him and said, go and dip yourself in the river. And Naaman said, I thought he had come out and call upon the name of his God and smite me on the place where I've got leprosy. You see, he expected something like that. But when the prophet prayed, be being in the harmony with His theophany, being in the perfect channel of His calling, being in the perfect will of God. If we pray anything according to the will of God, He hears us. And the prophet, he just prayed that prayer in accordance with the will of God. A simple prayer. The prophet says, in a few minutes, you're sitting on the side of the bed. And I ran outside. A taxi went by. I hailed down the taxi. Went to the hotel, got my things, went to the airport. He says, they were still making their final call. He says that God had delayed the plane because of the prayers of that mother. And the prophet continued on his journey. And then to show grace, when he came through on the train a few weeks later, well, a few months later, whenever it was, and he jumped off the train, the prophet in Memphis went to buy himself some hamburgers. And then he heard somebody saying, Parson Branham, Parson Branham. And it was that young boy. And that young boy says, you don't remember me, but I was that boy. Not only was I healed, but I'm serving the Lord. That's the power of persevering in prayer, friends. That's the power of an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous mother, a righteous father, a righteous brother, and a righteous sister. But she had to persevere, friends. She said, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I'm sure she prayed every day when that illness was taking its toll. Every day when he is out with those that wrong crowd. She was a real mother. She kept laying on, hold on the throne of God. And in due season, God took those prayers and was poured out before his throne. And God brought the supernatural down to minister to her need. Now we finish with this thought. Every genuine prayer is answered, the prophet says. Jesus says, whatsoever you ask my Father in my name, I'll give it to you. Amen. And God can't lie. My, that's a thought, friends. Amen. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Amen. Now obviously there's condition there. We've got to ask according to His will. We know that. You can't just ask for a Lamborghini and expect it to come by tomorrow morning. A brother can't just ask for, I wouldn't say. But there's certain things you can't ask for, friends, because it's not according to the will of God. But now in the message, the unchangeable God, the prophet says, did not our Lord Jesus say, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them? Amen. Did not he say, ask the Father what you will in my name and you'll receive it? Now, that is infallibly the truth. Amen. And there's nobody that ever asked God anything but what God gave it to them if they came with an honest heart. Amen. That's challenging and wonderful. But you're going to be thinking in your mind straight away, but what about this? I asked that. What about that? Well, listen how he continues on. He says, now the thing of it is, God gives it sometimes in the way we're not expecting it. Amen. You see. But if you come honestly before God, you're in your position, you're under the blood, it's an earnest request. You're putting His glory first. Every time God will answer that prayer. But He answered His own way, the prophet's going to tell us. God gives it sometimes in the way we're not expecting it. But God always keeps His word. There's no way for God to tell you anything and then lie about it and remain God. He says, but the thing with the people is the way that God appears. Is the way that He comes to answer that prayer. Many times you want to make an idol out of God. We want God to do something and He must do it just the way that we ask it or we'll say He never answered. When we do that, we weaken our faith in God. Because you look in the Word and say, but He said, but He didn't do it. No, it's not that He didn't do it. It's just that you had an expectation. You were telling God how to answer your prayer. You weren't bringing your need before the Lord and leaving it with Him. Amen. And saying, Lord, You are wise. Amen. Our Father. Amen. You are my Father. Amen. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. Lord, You know the need I have. Lord, I want to get married. Yeah? Lord, I don't want to be single anymore. That's a genuine desire. But God now knows how to answer the prayer and He knows when to answer the prayer. And it'll be the best answer if we leave it with Him. But the problem with us, we look and say, but I prayed last week and nothing happened yet. And we weaken our faith in God. And it's like we're saying to God, you don't tell the truth. Because you didn't keep your word. I asked, but you didn't answer. That's why in this message, the unchangeable God, the prophet preaches these principles and he says that. He says, God always answers. No one ever asked. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Everyone that asks will receive. Now, the prophet says, the only way that I've found it, that if I want to get anything from God, is take him at his word and believe it the way that he sends it. So take him at his word, put it before the Lord, keep going before the Lord, you get a witness and leave it now. And then you wait with the expectation, how is he going to answer this prayer? Maybe he's going to answer, you know, there's many prayers. If the Lord tarries, that'll be fulfilled after you die. The prophet says many times, says, you young people at the altar here today, you don't know, but it might be the answer to the prayers of your old godly mother who's long passed on to glory, but God is answering her prayers today. He knows the time, friends. He knows how to bring about the circumstances to bring the answer to the prayer. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes he's got to move certain things into certain places to bring about the right conditions to answer your prayer. And when he answers prayer, you'll say, he was wise. This was better than if he'd answered it when I asked him to answer it. Or the way that I wanted him to answer it, he knew better than me. But it's leaving it in his hands. The prophet says, now, if we do not take it just the way, we'll build God up as an idol. He's got to answer just according to our ways, or well, it's just no good. He didn't answer us. Now he answers us, the prophet. God answers in many ways. He answers in peculiar ways. Peculiar times when everything is odd. God answers in ways that will seem strange to you. But if you're not careful, you won't see it as the answer to your prayer. You may be praying for Tom Cruise to be your husband, and God sends you me, if you're my wife. And it was God's answer to your prayer, but in a very peculiar way. It wasn't according to the way that you might have had in your mind, but God knew what you needed if you're my wife. I might have prayed for my wife. I may have desired something else, but God knew what I needed. And in his time and in his season, God gave me exactly the answer to my prayer. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful, and you should be too. That's why we've got to be careful, friends. We don't put conditions on God. Don't make that, the prophet says sometimes you want to make God the errand boy. Now God, go and do this for me. And God go, no. It's first his glory, friends. Thy kingdom come. Yo, Lord, I want to glorify you. And Lord, I also have this need as well. And then let him take care of those needs. He knows how to do it. Now we'll finish with this. The prophet says, now, we'll take for an instant Moses. He was 80 years old. Almost, you would think, too old for God to deal with. It was unexpected in his age to be dealt with by God. So imagine all the prayers of Israel for 400 years for deliverance. The prayers of his mother, the prayers of his father over this boy. It looked like it was wasted. Because it backslides for 40 years to the backside of the desert. People might have thought, but hey, we prayed for our son. We prayed for this Moses. Where is he now? But God never forgets prayer, friends. God knows when and where and how. And the prophet's preaching about the unchangeable God working in an unexpected way. It wasn't the time they would have expected when the man's 80 years old. It wasn't the place that you would expect, a burning bush in the desert. But all those prayers were about to be answered of the sons and daughters of Israel in the person of Moses. So, the prophet says, God met Moses in an unusual way, in the way that he chose to meet Moses in. That's the key. Then he finishes. That's the way he answers our prayers, in the way that he thinks is best. And his way is always right. If we ask for anything and it doesn't happen just the way we think God ought to let it happen, then it makes us lose and fall back. Let's ask God. Stand firm on his word. Say it's true. And receive it the way that he sends it. That's the way you've got to believe God. Oh, friends, that's wonderful. That answers many mysteries in my life and yours. That answers many things that you prayed for many times earnestly. Under the blood, there's been quickening power in your prayer. And you say, but why hasn't that yet manifested itself? It's going to. But he has his time. And he has his way. And just be careful that you don't so predetermine in your own mind that when the answer comes, you don't recognize it as the answer. Because the Jews prayed for 2,000 years for the Messiah. The prophet says they were praying for a king and God sent them what they needed. He sent them a baby. And they didn't want the baby, they wanted the king. And up to today, they're still waiting for the answer to their prayer. But God answered their prayers 2,000 years ago. He says, be careful of that. Be careful of that. It can happen. The prophet says, speaking of the answer, it may come disguised. That's interesting. It may come dressed as something else. But it's the answer to your prayer. It may come in another way, and a roundabout way. So God first will do this and this and this to bring your prayer to answer here. But no matter what way it comes, if we have asked, we shall receive. God said so. And that settles it forever. Now, when you get to taking God like that and believing it, something's going to happen. Friends, that's about prayer. Prayer is such a wonderful thing, friends. It's totally unsurprising that the devil doesn't want us to pray. He wants us to get so busy. And all of us, when you're about to pray, the phone's going to ring, or this is going to happen, or that's going to take place. You're going to have to be determined. Many times, if you've got a busy family, you're going to have to tell your family, I'm going to pray. And you've got to separate yourself from that place, and you've got to find yourself a prayer closet that you're not going to be disturbed, so that you can spend time on your knees. You can spend time, the most productive time that you'll ever spend. The prophet says we can sing too much, we can preach too much and all that, but you can never pray too much. The Bible says men ought always to pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And the Bible says if we ask, we shall receive. But let's leave it in his hands. He knows how to bring it to pass. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of worship before we close. I'm sorry if it wasn't deep enough for some people. But it's deep to me. Because prayer is very deep, friends. That dimension is very deep. Once you start dealing with it, you start saying, Lord, me, I'm still a beginner in some of these things. But you desire to be deeper in that holy place.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of gold. Spirit washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. Oh, the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from earth.
Showers me.
showers of blessing, showers of blessing, mercy drops from the south.
Let's bow our heads. Maybe you have a need before the Lord. I'm sure you do. Every single one of us have needs. And the Lord has promised to minister to our needs. Why don't you raise your hand up before the Lord today and say, Lord, you see my need.
Hallelujah.
I'm just asking, Lord, for your glory. Meet me at my point of need. Father, I long to glorify you, Lord. I long to hallow your name. I long to live the life that you've ordained me to live. I long for you to be in me, that I may reflect you in this world. Father, glorify your son. Glorify your daughter, that your son or your daughter may glorify you. And God sees your need today, friends. Maybe your need is for salvation. Christ has already paid the price for your need. The blood has been shed. The atonement has been made. You just need to accept God's provision for you. And the best way to do it, why don't we speak to him a little bit? Why don't we just speak to him? Speak to him and pray. You may say, I don't know how to pray. Just say what's in your heart. Just be honest before the Lord. Let's all come before him. Let's put ourselves for a short while before the Lord before we dismiss, in Jesus' name. Father, bring in ourselves. Father, as your people before the Lord. Just in many people. Since just one announcement for Wednesday evening, we'd like to have a special prayer meeting for the officers alone, just on Wednesday, if the officers wouldn't mind coming. Anybody holds an office in the church, please come Wednesday night for prayer meeting. If you would, come have a special prayer just for the officers. I'm sorry I didn't see Brother Shelton was back. God bless you, brother. Welcome back. Would you mind closing for us, Brother Shelton, in a word of prayer, if you would be kind enough? Let's bow our heads. We ask Brother Shelton to close for us in prayer. And may the Lord bless us as we go.
Our dear precious Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
We are so grateful, Lord, today, Lord, for this privilege to be in your presence, O God.
Yes, Lord.
We're thankful for this service, O Father, Lord. We just heard from heaven, Lord. We didn't hear words of men, but we just heard, Lord, the principles of the kingdom of God. Lord, things that can help us to be successful spiritually, O Father, Lord, as we walk in this journey, Father, Lord, O God. So we're so grateful, Lord, that we came to service to this morning. We're so grateful, Lord, that you met us, Lord. We can say, like those two that went to Emmaus, Lord, when they heard him speak, Father, Lord, he said, Father, did not our hearts burn within us as he did speak to us along the way. They recognized him, but the manner at which he broke the bread of life, oh Father Lord, we just suddenly recognize you this morning, Father Lord. We recognize your voice, we recognize, Lord, your word when you speak, oh God. I pray for every heart that's in divine presence this morning, our visitors in our gates, oh Father Lord. You know their needs, you know their situations, Lord. Each and every one of them, oh Father Lord, our young people in our church, oh God. I pray that you touch them, I pray that you bless their hearts, Lord. Lord, my God, Lord, even the ministers in our church, Lord, our officers in our church, everyone, Lord, I just pray that you touch them, Lord, touch their lives, Lord. Lord, as we leave these gates, oh Father Lord, may we take the name of Jesus with us, Lord, everywhere we go, Lord.
Please, Lord.
And may we influence, Lord, our zones, our areas, Lord, where we work, Lord, our schools, our colleges, where we live,
Please,
oh Father.
Lord. Yes,
wherever
Lord.
We are, Lord, may we be the light, Father, the salt of the earth, Father Lord. And may the world see Christ through us, oh Father.
Please,
we commit everything to your hands. We pray for Jenny Messes, Lord,
Please,
until
Lord.
We meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. God bless you, saints. May the Lord be with you until we meet.
What I ought to be, I know. What I want to be, but I'm doing one thing. Give me strength as I run this race, to stay on the path no matter what I face. Jesus, in my heart,
God wants me to be.